Let's pray. Father, we just love to praise you. We love to be in your presence. Father, we lean on you for everything. Every breath. Father, thank you for healing. Thank you for provision. Thank you for relationship. Thank you for your word that we dig into this morning, Father. Thank you that you reveal truth to us through your Holy Spirit, that you lead us into truth. It's our desire. That's what we want, Father. That's what we're here for. I want to know the truth more when I leave here than when I came in, Father. So I just give myself to it. Father, may your Holy Spirit have its way here and be the teacher in this place in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Tom, I've got three slides there in the system there. Yeah, let's just stay on that one for a minute, and we'll hang around here for a minute. We're going to get back in prayer, in the talk about prayer for a little while this morning. I'm not going to take a lot of time, I don't think. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. We talked a couple of weeks ago about prayer, and then last week had some time. There's a small group here last week, but we had some time of testimony about hearing the voice of God, hearing God speak and knowing He leads us, and being sensitive to that and learning what that's like. You know, and just hearing testimonies last week really encouraged me. And because I'm in the midst of a really important time. We're all in the midst of important times in our lives of hearing God, but you know, there are certain points that there may be big changes that you're praying about, big changes, things that are maybe feel more important to us. Maybe they're not more important to God, but it doesn't matter. He will speak. He will lead. And a whole lot of that begins with we pray to Him. We call on Him. All the way from the very beginning, almost the very beginning of creation, they called upon the name of the Lord. Remember that from a couple of weeks ago? Why do we pray? Many, many times it's because we're in need. And that's okay. We don't need to ever feel guilty about why we're praying. Where does guilt come from? Does it come from the Holy Spirit? I don't think so. Guilt comes from the liar and the deceiver, Satan himself. Guilt is not of God. Conviction is. Guilt is not. There is no guilt. Kind of like in that movie in the A League of Their Own. There's no crying in baseball. There's no guilt in Christ. But sometimes we're personally in need. And it's okay to say, I am in need. I need something, God. And sometimes it's relationship, finance, health, wisdom. Guidance, that's what I was just talking about. And all kinds of other needs. All kinds. That's a lot of where we stay in prayer. It's okay. It's okay. Because the Word says that God already knows what we need before we ask. He's just hoping and waiting for us to ask. He wants us to. That's what the Word says. And we are just struggling without words to express it. Sometimes we just are in the midst of junk. We can't even describe what it is we're in the midst of. It's so many different things that are bombarding us. We are hurting. We're in despair. We're in confusion. We're under attack. Whatever it is, sometimes we just can't even figure it out, but we know we need help. Ever been there?
Yes.
Yeah. Everybody has been. And it's okay if you can't say the words and can't describe to God what you need. Because remember what I just said. He already knows what you need before you open your mouth. But there's this thing called a spiritual language. It's praying in tongues for your own communication with God. That the Spirit understands our groanings. So groan a little bit when you don't know what else to say. Amen. Just get on your knees and groan and say, oh God. and let the words that you might not even understand come out of your heart. And He hears them and He moves. Sometimes we just know someone else is in need. Some people are more sensitive to that and care more about them than others. We all ought to care. But that's the sort of the pastor sort of thing that all of us are probably picking up more and more from Arthur as he teaches and imparts that gift of his. That we care about other people's needs. Why did he get Donna up here in front this morning? The pastor gift drove him to it. I mean, it's like he can't help himself. There's a need. He's aware. He's compassionate. The gift is like that. But it is to impart to us the same sorts of things. So when we know others are in need, sometimes we just want to dedicate something, consecrate something to God. Sometimes it's a new baby. Sometimes it's just energy and time that we want to consecrate, get dedicated to God. Just, I've given this to you, God. It's yours. Use it. Whatever it is. One of the easiest things to do is be thankful. Because if you can't think of anything else, thank God for the breath in your lungs. If nothing else. But surely there's something else. Surely. Thank you, God. And then go from there. Thank you for provision. I had some of that going on this morning in my opening. You know, when I just started praying. It's like you just can't help but list the stuff you ought to be thankful for. Thank you that He sustains us. Thank you that He speaks. Thank you that He is involved and He loves us. Yes. What else? And we just want to talk. Sometimes we just want to talk. It's not like I've got this great burden or great thing I need to ask Him for. But you say, man, Father, I just love you. Just want to hang out. I just want to hear from you. I just want to be with you and give you opportunity. And show you I love you. Show you that I depend on you. That may be the least common thing we do. Pray without any specific reason. But maybe we ought to try it a little more. And that maybe that lends itself to the idea of worship being prayer. You know, we're not coming with a specific purpose. You know, y'all already know what songs we're going to sing. You know, but you're willing. You jump in there. I know I'm going to enter in the presence of God if I give myself to worship and this musical prayer that we do. Musical prayer. That's what worship is. It's a way to join us together, that we can say the same thing with the same heart at the same time in the presence of God. Yeah. Musical prayer. Yeah. Pretty cool stuff. God gave us music for a reason. That's the primary reason. So much of the Psalms, you know, it says, done to the tune of whatever. A psalm will be introduced that way. We're going to look at one like that in a minute. So, the Psalms really are prayers, right? So, speaking of that, let's go to the next slide there, Tom. Okay, so don't read that yet, okay? I'm going to read to you. So y'all just pay attention to me and what I'm saying. Don't even put this up on the screen, Tom. I want you to hear this. Okay, I just want you to listen to the cry of David. And I want you to really hear the change of heart in the midst of this. Okay? By the way, this is Psalm 22. What is the 23rd Psalm all about? The Lord is my shepherd. Boy, you're talking about a contrast. You start in 22 and read this one. It's not like he wrote them back to back, okay? But this is still David. And he starts off this way. By the way, done to the tune of Morning Dew. Okay? Whatever that is. My God, why have you abandoned me? I groan in prayer, but help seems far away. Like I said, just listen. Listen to his heart. My God, I cry out during the day, but you do not answer. During the night, my prayers do not let up. You are holy. You sit as king, receiving the praises of Israel. In you, our ancestors trusted. They trusted in you, and you rescued them. I want you to hear this and understand it's okay to talk to God for real. He's being real. He's not being pretentious. Oh, Lord God, you are so wonderful. He didn't start that way. Okay? So listen to that. Hear how he talked to God. The man after God's own heart. Okay? David, the guy that understood Christ before Christ came. Okay? You are holy, you said, as king, receiving the praises of Israel. In you our ancestors trusted. They trusted in you, and you rescued them. To you they cried out, and they were saved. In you they trusted, and they were not disappointed. But I am a worm, not a man. People insult me and despise me. All who see me taunt me. They mock me and shake their heads. They say, commit yourself to the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let the Lord deliver him. For he delights in him. They're making fun of him, calling, you know, saying, didn't he say that? Yes, so what's happening now? Kind of sounds like when they were taunting Christ. Oh, the king of the Jews. Right? I'm telling you, David understood Christ. He understood salvation. Yes, you are the one who brought me out from the womb and made me feel secure on my mother's breast. I have been dependent on you since birth. From the time I came out of my mother's womb, you have been my God. Do not remain far away from me, for trouble is near, and I have no one to help me. Many bulls surround me. Powerful bulls of Bashan hem me in. They open their mouths to devour me like a roaring lion that rips its prey. My strength drains away like water. All my bones are dislocated. My heart is like wax. It melts away inside me. The roof of my mouth is as dry as a piece of pottery. My tongue sticks to my gums. You set me in the dust of earth. Of death, I'm sorry. The dust of death. Oof. I need to pay attention. Yes, wild dogs surround me. A gang of evil men crowd around me. Like a lion, they pin my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. My enemies are gloating over me in triumph. They are dividing up my clothes among themselves. They are rolling dice for my garments. But you, O Lord, do not remain far away. You are my source of strength. Hurry and help me. Deliver me from the sword. Save my life from the claws of the wild dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lion and from the horns of the wild oxen. And then he says, you have answered me. Just like that. In the midst of that cry. Complete change. You have answered me. It's not what the King James says, but it's what it means, okay? I will declare your name to my countrymen. In the middle of this assembly, I will praise you. You loyal followers of the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. All you descendants of Israel, stand in awe of him. For he did not despise or detest the suffering of the oppressed. He did not ignore him. And he cried out to him. He responded, you are the reason I offer praise in the great assembly. I will fulfill my promises before the Lord's loyal followers. Let the oppressed eat and be filled. Let those who seek his help praise the Lord. May you live forever. Let all the people of the earth acknowledge the Lord and turn to him. Let all the nations worship you. For the Lord is king and rules over the nations. All of the thriving people of the earth will join the celebration and worship. All those who are descending into the grave will bow before him, including those who cannot preserve their lives. A whole generation will serve him. They will tell the next generation about the sovereign Lord. They will come and tell about his saving deeds. They will tell a future generation what he has accomplished. Amen. What a change. In the midst of the psalm, in the midst of his crying out, he's almost accusing God. Really kind of is. Where are you? You've abandoned me. You left me in the dust. And in the midst of that, he says, you've heard me. We know that to be true. When we call on God, when we call upon the name of the Lord, we know He hears us. We know He moves because of it. Matthew 11:24 says, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours." Remember that phrase, pray believing? Pray believing. Not just hoping, but believing. Not just crying out, but believing. Pray believing. If you say that out loud, it changes something in you. God, I'm praying believing. Say it out loud. And it makes a difference in here. Not to Him, because He's already got it straight. It's us. It's we who need to get it straight. Okay? So say it out loud when you pray. Father, I'm praying believing that I've received what I'm asking. I'm praying believing that you hear me, and because you hear me, you're going to move on my behalf. The reason I wanted to do this Psalm 22 also was just, I said it already, I'm going to say it again. It's okay to be real with our Heavenly Father, to say it the way you feel it. If you're hurting, tell Him you're hurting. If you're mad at Him, tell Him you're mad at Him. I've had times when I was I kind of surprised myself how I was talking to God. Where are you in this? Attend to this, God. I'm crying out, attend to this. It's okay. He's big enough. He's big enough. As long as we're always giving Him that place, the reason we're praying and calling out in the first place is we know who He is. He is God. He is our Father. He is the one above all. And as long as we come with that heart, He's okay with hearing our heart open up and saying it the way we feel it. Remember, He already knows what we need before we say it. Go to Matthew 6:9. If you go ahead and go to the next slide there, Tom, if you would. Yeah. That third one. Oh, let's go back to that second one. Let's make sure I covered everything. I think I probably did. David is perfectly honest. He complains to God. He expresses hopelessness. Then recognizes God's presence. Proclaims the truth that was obscured before his despair, by his despair. And he acknowledges who God is and that he will worship Him. That's what we can expect when we get in the presence of God, crying out to Him. That's what we can expect. So let's go to the third slide there, Tom. I'm pretty sure probably everybody in here can recite the Lord's Prayer in King James Version, right? I believe it is probably that practice, the practice of teaching the Lord's Prayer in King James Version, is why so many people think they're supposed to pray in King James language. Thine, thou, and thee, and commandest thou me, and stuff like that. It's okay to do that, but it is not necessary. Let me just make sure everybody understands that, in case you're locked up in the King James and think that's the only way you can pray. It's not true. Because here's a really, really, really important thing. Just like, Eric's up there translating. So that those who speak Spanish can hear this message and not struggle with, dealing with interpreting from English into Spanish, because Spanish is their native, their heart language. The language you learned first, the language of your heart, is where God can most easily speak to you and you can speak to God. That's just the way it is. That's the way we're built. So, since I was not raised on King James language, it's a little hard for me to make sure I'm saying thee when I'm not supposed to say thou. You know, I'm wondering which word should I use? Forget it. It's not in my heart. It's not me. It's not my language. Why would we pick up a language we're not familiar with, even a style of language that we're not familiar with and not comfortable with? It's not from our heart because we're talking to God. Remember, He's our Father too. Okay? So, if you start doing the these and thous and it's really not in your heart, God's saying, really? I'm hearing you, but really? Let's just get real like David did. Let's get real. So, here are the things in what people refer to as the Lord's Prayer. But remember, a couple of weeks ago, I read another prayer. Christ praying for the disciples and all people, Himself. That was His prayer. This prayer in Matthew is Him telling them how they should pray. Okay? I'm going to jump over there and just read it. By the way, this is in the midst of some other instruction about don't make a show of stuff. Don't make a show of giving. Don't make a show of prayer, private prayer. Don't make a show, even corporate prayer, don't make a show of it. Basically, practice humility. Practice some private ways of doing things. God's honored by that. That's a lot of what He's saying around this Lord's Prayer passage. So in verse 9, Matthew 6, verse 9. I'll just go ahead and read the King James first, and I'll read the NET and go from there. After this manner, therefore, pray you, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's the end of the most, reliable manuscripts. But they're added somewhere along the way, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That really wasn't in the original as far as we can tell. So the NET says, so pray this way. Our Father in heaven, may your name be honored. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we ourselves have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That's pretty short. Pretty short prayer. Let's look at the parts. First of all, always, always, always acknowledge who God is. When you pray, acknowledge who He is. You don't have to come up with a bunch of different names, but I'll tell you what. If I'm praying about provision, I might call on God, Jehovah Jireh. You are my provision. That's who I proclaim you to be. Call Him who He is. And talk about why He's to be praised. Because He is above all. He is the one that can hear us and can act. And so acknowledge that. Secondly, join your will to His. Today, Beth is back there teaching a lesson on Gethsemane. And Gethsemane is the place where Christ, Jesus Himself, struggled in prayer and said, in the end, not my will, but yours be done. But he struggled first. But then he says, not mine, but yours. Okay, it's okay to do that. Jesus did it. It is okay to struggle with. Maybe you understand what God's will is. Maybe you think you do. Maybe you're hoping you don't. Because what you see, you don't like. God, I don't know about this. I think you're sending me here, but I don't like it. Are you sure? All those things are okay. Because Jesus said it. If there's any other way, let this cup pass. Who wouldn't pray that when they're going to the cross? Who wouldn't be there? Because Jesus was fully man and fully God. So He did not, He experienced and dealt with everything that we possibly can. And that was one of them. Struggling with His will and God's will and getting them to be aligned. Join your will to His. Humble yourself in asking for His provision. Give us this day our daily bread. What does that cover? This day, our daily bread. This day. Then say, store up some bread for next week, God. I really need to get through today. And that's what we need to deal with. Tomorrow can worry about itself. Yesterday's gone. Today, we ask for provision. Provision, natural, what we're going to eat, how we're going to live, what we need to sustain our natural lives, but also His Word for us for the day. What is He saying to us? Give me Your Word, that bread of life, because man cannot live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So, asking for that. Humble yourself, knowing and acknowledging that you can't provide for yourself. Because it's not just bread alone, it's His Word that we have to have. And so then, remember His salvation and what He calls us to. What did He do for you in the first place? When you came into that relationship with Him, He forgave you and picked you up out of the darkness, out of the muck, out of the mire. Acknowledge that. You've forgiven me, God. Thank You for forgiveness. Show me where I should be forgiving myself. Let me forgive those around me. You realize when you hang on to stuff that you haven't forgiven somebody for, it really doesn't affect them much. But boy, it tears you up. Amen. You haul that around with you. Keep it in your heart and your mind. And you, I don't think I can really say it the way he says it, but it has to do with this. Mr. Boyd says something about, I used to care what people thought about me, and then I finally realized people don't think much about me anyway. They're really not doing much thinking about me. So why do I care what they think if they ever get around to it? They really don't. They really don't get around to it. So you're hauling this thing around thinking, oh, they did me wrong. There's this thing going on. And they're probably oblivious. And all you have to do is say, I forgive that, and I'm going to let it go. Shake it off. You know, whatever. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to put a picture in everybody's mind, right? Okay. So as we were forgiven, so we recall salvation and what it was for us, what He did for us, that we can also do for others in our own lives, in our own relationships. So do that. And then be honest about the weakness of your natural man. We need a shepherd. We need somebody leading us. It says, lead us not into temptation. Do you think God would try to drag you into temptation? No, He does not. It's just a way of expressing, I don't want to go into temptation, so lead us some other way. Don't lead us there. Don't leave me there. The prayer is so short and concise, you got to read a lot into it and let God speak to you about it. But what it means is we need a shepherd. He says, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. The evil one is always around and roaring like a lion. He wants to devour us. So this end of this prayer is all about delivering us from that protection, deliverance, keeping us from darkness. It's not like He would try to drag us into darkness. It's all about Him keeping us in the light. Lead us, Father. So is it okay? Is it okay to pray in King James Version? Yes, it's okay. I encourage you to, if that's the way you talk daily, keep it up. But I'm telling you, talk from your heart. Say it the way you feel it. Be real in prayer with God. First John 5:14-15, and this is the confidence that we have before Him. 1 John 5:14-15. That whenever we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in regard to whatever we ask, then we know that we have the request that we have asked from Him. Pray believing. Pray believing. Father, I just pray Your Word has its way. I thank You that You give it to us so freely. You reveal to us in it if we just look, if we just ask. We love You, Father. We love Your ways. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to have kind of a change of direction here a little bit. Not so much a change as I would have thought it was a couple of weeks ago. Arthur's been teaching me a lot.
Thank you,
Jesus. Amen.
And so Arthur's been counseling me, you know, trying to get me to understand some truth that it's always been there, but it's we all have some barriers. We have some walls that we've built that are really mythical. They're really not walls. And one of my walls was, trying to separate some of, let's say, politics from this place. Okay? And Arthur has had, over the last fairly long period of time, he's been getting revelation concerning what it really means to take the kingdom with us and let it outside. And many of us in this place experience some of this at some level, but there is more to do. And so when he's done, I'm going to come back up and talk about a request of mine concerning this.
I need to be careful, and so I really want to pray. Father, I ask that You give me the tongue of a ready writer, and that You would direct me and by the Holy Spirit. And that You would not only direct my speech, but that You would also direct the hearing of what I'm about to say. Father, this is Your vision. It's not mine. It is what You desire. It's not what I desire. And so it is paramount that the vision be clear. And Your word says that make the vision clear and write it well, so that there not be any misinterpretation. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm relying on You heavily, that You do Your will, but Father, do Your work. And so, Father, I want to put feet to the vision. And so, Lord, I believe this is part of what You desire. In Jesus' name, amen. I have always... we are captured by what we say and by what we pray. And I have the word says, let it be on earth as it is in heaven, has been in my heart and stuck with me, has always been something that has always brought a lot of life to me. Definitely in a personal level. It is also something that I want my marriage to be that way. I want my home to be that way. And then, you know, when I got into the governments of the church, I definitely want the church to reflect the government of heaven. I mean, doesn't that make sense? You know, and I have been in churches where it didn't. And let me tell you what, it is a catastrophe. And for years I have seen where that it was just a social club. People weren't being transformed. It was just people. They just came in to see what color dress people had. They weren't being fed. They weren't growing. It just was a bad situation. The leadership, it was just bad. And I don't need to go any further than that. But it's this thing. So when God came and God said, "Okay, Arthur, I've got something for you to do." Okay, and so when he gave me, I'm going to kind of back up here. When he gave me the job at First Community, I really thought this was over. And so I went, "God, what are you doing? You know, do I need to leave? What are you doing?" And so he basically just said, "Just wait, watch, and listen." So it's okay, you know, so I'd be patient. So the first thing that he showed me was a stack of lumber. And he said, "I'm building something." Okay. So if I see something, I said, "Okay, that's good." So, and then he showed me walls. He showed me the a structure, and so I thought, all right. Some of that structure was an apostolic. Pastoral, evangelist, you know, the Doma gifted men. He showed me people. And I said, "Oh, you know, you're building the church." And then he showed me not these four walls. He said, "Ecclesia." Now, when Jesus walked the earth, did this scripture, and if Tom, if you could bring up the scripture where it says, and when he says, "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it," and what he said when he said this, the word, he says, "I'm going to build my church," and he says, "And the gates of hell will not prevail against it," and so. When he said that, he was referring, and the Greek word there is ekklesia, this word here in the Greek is the word ekklesia. Now, when he was, "I will build my church in the gates of Hades, and the powers and the infernal region shall not overpower or be strong and determined and hold against it." So what Jesus was saying at that point was, "I will build my kingdom." Okay? So we basically have watered that down to be able to say my church. For years and years and years and years, we took it as walls. And then we had a revelation, oh, he's not talking about walls. He's talking about people. My people are the church. Okay. And so, which was a great, great revelation. That's true. But now we're talking about kingdom. You know, what is the kingdom of God? So if I were to have a community, let's say Jesus was walking down the street, and he was walking down the street of Crane. And he's walking down Main Street, and he turns to his disciples, and he's looking. He's looking at Peter, and he says, you know, hey, I'm gonna tell you this. I'm going to build my kingdom, this ecclesia, my municipality. He wasn't talking about, you see that church over there? I'm not going to build another church. I'm going to build another city, my municipality. Because what was their municipality in that day? There were Pharisees, Sadducees, there were corrupt Roman empires. There were people who were in charge, but they were not godly men and women. And so he says, I'm going to build my ecclesia who is kingdom-minded. So, what he's telling, what Jesus is saying is, I'm going to put people in charge who are kingdom-minded. These are people who know the ways of God. Not only know the ways of God, but refer to God to help them make decisions. And they are not doing the decisions by their opinion, but by referral to the Word of God and by following God. So therefore, that municipality, not the church. Now, the elders should rule the church as they're supposed to. But what happens when we have city leaders who are God, kingdom, people, strong men of God? Now, let's take it out of Crane and let's put it on Rankin, so to speak. Okay, if you were to go to Rankin and you say the mayor, hey, you know, John, you're the mayor of Rankin. Are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. Okay. The judge, are you over Upton County? Are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. I go to the Baptist church. If you were to say that over all these small towns in West Texas, 98%. You would have a yes to. That's not what I'm talking about. And that's not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is talking about men of God who are trained to hear his voice and follow his lead. Do you know the difference? Do you know the difference between someone who is a Christian and someone who is a disciple following God? It's huge. I mean, it is huge. Someone who would say, yeah, I'm a Christian and I'm going to heaven and I go to church every week, than someone who lives their life according to the Word of God, who does not compromise their life according to their opinion. It is huge. So what do I believe is happening? Well, I believe that God is looking for people to rise up and take those places. So I went kicking and screaming. That's what I did. Arthur, I want you to be the branch manager in Crane as the branch manager of First Community Federal Credit Union. No, I don't want to. Yes, I want you to. No, I don't want to. Yes, I want you to. You know, I went kicking and screaming. The issue is, you're a part of my plan. You see, I continue to want his plan. I just didn't recognize it. I think God is now going, you guys are mature enough to be able to see I've got a plan. And when opportunity knocks, you guys should be able to say, oh, okay, maybe I should answer the door without going, uh-oh, they're going to want something that I can't do. I believe, you know, I think, well, I mean, I can talk for Sharon too. Is she, what, you know, her main thing about where she's at was, I don't have a degree to do what I'm doing. I'm going, you don't need a degree. You have God's endorsement. Who can fight with that? Who can fight with God's endorsement? Well, nobody can. So, so Jimmy comes to me and says, I'm running for judge, or I'm thinking about running for judge. And everything that's inside of me is going, this fits in the plan. This fits in God's plan. I don't care about what you think, Jimmy. This fits in God's plan, you know? And, you know, he's telling me, so he comes to me last week, I don't remember when, but he says, so it costs $750 to file, okay? So I'm thinking, I mean, that's his first sentence. In my head, I'm going, well, how are we going to get $750? You know, let's take up a collection. That's the first thing that comes into my head. He goes, but he keeps talking. He says, we can get 50 people to sign a petition and that waives the $750. And I'm going, well, yeah, let's do that. Remember, I'm thinking, not talking. So he says, I can do that after church. Now I begin to talk. Why would you want to do that? Why would you wait till after church? Well, I don't want to mix stuff. I don't want to force people. I'm going, huh, okay. So now I'm thinking, remember, I've already dismissed Jimmy's thinking, his opinion up here. So now I'm thinking, this is not your plan, Jimmy. This is God's plan. Okay? So my concern now is, if we don't do this, we're disobeying God. Now I'm scared. You know, like, oh, wow, okay. So now, what are we going to do? Well, now I'm thinking, you know, I got to leave it with Jimmy. I got to leave it with Jimmy and God. And then I got to pray hard. What does pray hard mean? I don't close my eyes really tight, you know, that's praying hard. God, and there's a lot of discussion between Jimmy and I in the sense of what does God want to do and how does he want to do it? And I said, and one of the things is we have philosophical things that get in the way of administrative things. Do you understand? Do you understand that? We have, if we believe that there should be a separation of church and state, then we're going to abide by that law. But if we believe that that was a satanic thing that was put in place to keep the church underneath the radar so that it wouldn't speak up, then you're going, we're not going to do that. We're not going to be silenced in this. Okay? Here's something that's very revelation. It really came as a revelation to me. Hebrews says, Abraham sought for a city whose architect was God. Boom. When I first saw that scripture, I thought, man, that's great about Abraham. And then another revelation came. Wow, that's great about, there's a city that has an architect by God. And then another revelation came just now. There's a city. And that city could be Crane. It could be. How can that be? Well, you've got to be impressed here. How many people we got here today? We got 1, 2, 3, 4. Out of this many people, Jimmy can do the math, but you got the director of the fledgling program, you got the branch manager, you got the head of the Republican Party, potential over here. That's a huge percentage of what we could have here in Crane. People, kingdom-minded people making decisions for what God wants to be done here. Not an easy job. Not an easy job at all. But think of the potential of God doing His work. It's going to come through us. It's going to come through us. He's going to use us. There's a scripture that says everything belongs to God. And it came. Does that liquor store belong to God? Give me a yes or no. That liquor store belongs to God. If God wanted to shut that liquor store down today, it would be shut down. Why is it still open? Because he's going, do I have a people who would shut it down? Does it need to be shut down? I don't know. I don't know. But I don't know if any Christian has asked. Do you see what I'm saying? We need a people to ask. Let those people rise up.